Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this worship service this evening, singing together from Psalter 221, the first and the third stanzas. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might, come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 221, we sing stanzas 1 and 3. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, beginning at verse 1, reading through until verse 30. Luke 22, beginning at verse 1. But first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way, and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad, and covenanted to give him money. And he promised, and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good men of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in thy goodness and mercy and long-suffering patience that we and our children, and as a congregation, that we may enter into thy house again today, again in this evening hour on thy day, to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy everlasting precious word. And Lord, as we have entered into this passion season, when we may especially remember and meditate upon the suffering and the death of the Lamb of God, Lord, we beg and pray thee to richly, powerfully, irresistibly bless thy word, that those that are living on their own account may be renewed, may be awakened, and that they may see their great need, that they need atonement, and that they are without atonement, that they are guilty before a holy and just God who can by no means clear the guilty. Lord, we beg thee that thou would give life to those who are yet spiritually dead. And remember all thy dear people. Lord, thou knowest them, the babes in grace, the young men, the fathers, as thy servant John has written, those who struggle, those who wonder with all that is going on in their heart, who am I, who do not dare call themselves one of thy dear people, those poor and needy ones who stand so afar off. Oh, may they be brought nigh by the blood of the Lamb. We beg and pray thee, remember all thy people, those poor and needy sinners loaded with guilt, with a mountain of sin, and wonder, is it possible for such a wretch, for such a guilty sinner, ever to be reconciled with a holy and just God? Oh, because of thy love that thou hast poured in their hearts, they have love for thee, and they long that that separation is taken away, that they may have a little token of thy favor, that they long for communion with thee. Oh, may they see it, Lord, that thy justice must be satisfied, and that they may be led, all thy dear people, poor and needy sinners, to that only place where thy wrath has been satisfied, in that sacrifice of thy dear Son. O Lord, wilt thou help then all thy servants to proclaim thy precious word, not only of death in Adam, but life in Christ through his death. Oh, who can explain those deep mysteries, those wonders, the precious truth of the gospel, that God was pleased to bruise his own Son, that God the Father sent his Son, but also it was under his hand and under his wrath that his Son was put to death. Oh, may it become such a wonder that we deserve death, that we deserve to be beaten and wounded and afflicted because of our sin, because of who we are and what we do against thee, that almighty, majestic Lord God of the heavens and of the earth. Oh, Lord, wilt thou teach then of sin, and that it may lead to a seeking of a way to be forgiven, and lead to that only place, through the blood, through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, which we read in thy word, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, have mercy upon us, and give that there may be those rich blessings from above upon thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be regenerated, and that thy people may be instructed, guided, led, cared for and led into those green pastures of thy word, where is that only comfort in life and in death, that we do not belong to ourselves, but that we belong unto that faithful Savior who has purchased them, his sheep, his church, with his precious blood. Oh, may that blood become so necessary, but also may it be revealed, and that it may be applied to the hearts of sinners, that they may know of that love, of that forgiveness of sins for their own hearts, for their own souls. Lord, thou knowest that people who are begging and crying, longing for a visit, longing for a little token, a little assurance from above, and who cry, speak unto my soul and say, I am thy salvation. They can't trust themselves. They can't trust anything, but thou art that faithful God. Thou art that one who can be trusted, and thy word is true and living. Oh, we beg thee then, speak, Lord, and that those burdens may be taken away, that there may be a little favor, that there may be a little comfort, that there may be a crumb from the Master's table. Oh, a crumb of thy mercy is so great, and we are so unworthy. But Lord, we confess, if thou would mark our iniquities, who could stand before thee? But there is forgiveness with thee through thy Son, through thy dear Son whom thou hast sent to fulfill the law for transgressors. Thy dear Son whom thou hast sent and who came willingly and who said, I give my life for the sheep. He is that good shepherd, and he can feed and he will feed his dear sheep. Oh, may there be food through this season for poor and needy beggars. Lord, wilt thou then help? Wilt thou give the unction to preach? Give opening, give boldness. Take away all the fear of man, all the desire of praise of men, and that thy word may be proclaimed truly according to the meaning of the Spirit. Lord, we lay before thee the whole entire congregation with all the needs and the cares, especially for the souls, but also, Lord, remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them. Lord, we ask that thou would remember all the sick and afflicted. Thou knowest all the cares, all the needs, with the body, with the mind. Remember those who are at home sick, those in Bethany Care Home. Lord, we beg thee, sanctify all these callings, and may we hear thy voice speaking through thy word and through the acts of thy providence, that we have no continuing city, but that we must be prepared to meet thee. Lord, prepare us by thy grace. Renew and draw and lead and reveal that only precious Savior who came into this world to seek and save sinners. Oh, may the precious gospel may be milk and may there be meat. Lord, we beg and pray thee that there may be food for thy dear beloved people, that they may be strengthened in the faith, and that they may live in the world but not of the world, that they may forsake all worldliness, and that they may live dependent upon thee, with a heart for thee, with love for thee, hating sin and loving righteousness, and that they may be a light in this world. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thy word that may be proclaimed throughout the world may be richly blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile. Remember the established congregations. O wilt thou provide elders and deacons, God-fearing elders and deacons, and wilt thou remember all thy servants, Lord. Help each one. We're sons of men. May we be carried on the wings of prayer, and that thou would fill us, that we may have food to hand out, and that we may proclaim the precious truths of thy word. Lord, remember then thy covenant people. Lord, bless thy word unto them. Take away the veil from their eyes, as thou hast promised that thou wilt do. Remember the efforts with the committee to reach out unto the covenant people, the Jews among also in Canada and the United States, guide them and lead them. But remember also the mission board. Lord, help them, guide them and lead them when they will meet tomorrow. Lord, may all their decisions be made in thy favor. Lord, help them. May we pray for them, and that thou would remember them in thy mercy, and bless thy word richly in Bolivia to the salvation of many Bolivians. Help the church workers there and their families, the elders, the deacons, thy servants there. Remember Pastor Marco. Remember the need for a church worker in Bolivia, but also a church worker in Peru. Lord, wilt thou provide in thy mercy? And Lord, remember the great need in Bolivia, in our denomination, and throughout the world in thy church, for under-shepherds, for servants to proclaim thy word, for ambassadors. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word that we are to pray unto thee, to beg thee, that thou would thrust out men. Lord, we beg thee, wilt thou call men who have thy grace, and that they must come forward, and that thou would open the way, and that we may rejoice in the wonders, in the mercy of thee. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember our government. Give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they may long to rule, to govern, to guide this nation according to thy word. Lord, have mercy upon us. We as a nation are sinful. We're polluted. We were founded on Christian principles, but we have turned away. We have cast thee out. We sin against all thy commandments. We desecrate the Lord's day. We do not live according to the institution of marriage. And Lord, thou knowest also the confusion and what man teaches. Thou hast created us as male and female. Have mercy, Lord. Remember all that blood that is shed through abortion and euthanasia. Oh, give conviction of sin and give repentance and give that life may be protected. Lord, may we ask thee to remember also all those families that are mourning in that town in British Columbia with that horrible act of murder of so many, and so many are injured. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember them all. Comfort them. And Lord, remember them this world. May thy kingdom yet come. Lord, thou hast said that through the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt gather thy church. Help then, sinful men, to proclaim thy word, and that sinners would be born again, and that thy dear people may be edified. Lord, we ask thee then tonight, gather with us. Thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, there's no reason in us. We sin everything away. We have left thee in paradise. We've rebelled against thee, never to return. And we sin continually in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. We sin against thy law. We sin against the gospel. We sin against all thy goodness. And what a wonder that thou art yet willing that thy word may be proclaimed. Lord, have mercy. Wash us. Cleanse us. Forgive us of all our sins. And look upon us in mercy. Lord, remember also the schools, the education of our children at home or at school. Lord, bless it. Help the teachers. And may thy word be richly blessed at Rehoboth Christian School to the conversion of many children, of teenagers, that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Gather with us, give an hour in thy favor and under thy blessing, and may we go home and say, it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Pass us not by, Lord. Look upon us, hear us. We beg for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. and for if necessary. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, and tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, and the collections for tonight is the first for the church and the second for the Rehoboth Christian School contribution target. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the only good shepherd. How is the Lord Jesus Christ the good shepherd? Well, then we could make a long list. I would want to mention just one thing. One thing that he said in John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. The bad shepherd flees when he sees the wolf coming. But the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. What a good shepherd. What a blessing, congregation, to belong to this faithful, good shepherd. That is the only comfort in life and in death. Sheep get hungry. Sheep get tired. Sheep get weary as they walk on a hot day. And a good shepherd, he leads his sheep to refreshing waters and to green pastures, that they may be refreshed with water and fed with that food they need. In congregation, the sheep of the good shepherd, they also become very weary going through this life living upon this earth. Why? Because of sin, because of temptation, because of attacks of that tyrant of Satan, because of his assaults. And so they can become so weary with self and living in this world with all the attacks of Satan. And the good shepherd, that Lord Jesus Christ, he knows his sheep, and he knows that his sheep need to be refreshed, that they need to be cared for, guided, fed, receive refreshing grace for their hearts and for their souls, and he feeds them. How does the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, feed his sheep? Well, he feeds them by his word, by the gospel, and he also feeds them through the sacraments, through especially the Lord's Supper. What is the food? What is the food that strengthens those sheep? Maybe ask them, what food strengthens you? What food do they really come to hunger for? What they long for their soul? Well, what is the center of the gospel? And what is the center of the Lord's Supper? It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the bread of life. And so, beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, instituted the sacrament of Holy Supper to feed his dear, tired, weary sheep. We read in Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So here we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, instituted the Lord's Supper, Holy Supper. And now let's read a summary of what the Word of God teaches about the Lord's Supper in Lord's Day 29. And it's not only in this Lord's Day, but it will be, the Lord willing, in the following two, 28, 29, and 30. But tonight, we will read the Lord's Day 28, questions and answers 75, 76, and 77, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 57 and 58. Question and answer 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer. Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question and answer 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one spirit as members of the same body or by one soul. Question and answer 77. Where has Christ promised that he will certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of his broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." This promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And so with the Lord's help, we will consider the following theme with two thoughts. The theme: Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, instituted the Lord's Supper. And he instituted, and we will consider, two reasons. Two reasons that we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. And so, two thoughts. Two thoughts. First, to admonish and assure his sheep. We read, "How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and all his benefits?" So, first, we will consider to admonish and assure his sheep. Second, to nourish and feed them. We read that in the answer and further in the Heidelberg Catechism. So the theme, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, instituted the Lord's Supper. For two reasons we will meditate tonight. First, to admonish and assure his sheep. And second, to nourish and to feed his sheep. And may the Lord richly bless his word. So dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted two sacraments. And we have already considered the sacrament of holy baptism. And tonight, now we begin in the Heidelberg Catechism to speak and to dwell upon the Lord's Supper. And there are three Lord's Days that speak about the Lord's Supper. Lord's Day 28, 29, and 30. And maybe you have some questions. Maybe you have some questions in your heart. What is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? Who may attend the Lord's Supper? Why do we need to examine ourselves? What's the purpose? How should we examine ourselves? And with the Lord's help, and according to the Word of God, and with the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism, we hope to answer those questions. And to give you a summary, as we go forward, Lord's Day 28 speaks about the purpose of the Lord's Supper. The purpose. And Lord's Day 29 and the first questions of Lord's Day 30 speaking about the errors against what has been taught about the Lord's Supper. And then the last question in Lord's Day 30, it speaks about who may attend, who is called to attend. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, instituted the Lord's Supper to admonish and to assure his sheep. He wants to instruct them. He wants to give them an urgent command. And this is why the instructor begins in question 75, "How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ?" So why? What is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? Why does he want to admonish and assure his sheep? Well, we need to notice how the answer begins, how our instructors taught. And then we read that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him. So with the question and this part of the answer, we learn that the Lord's Supper is all about whom? In the first place, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. It's all about him and what he did in the first place for his sheep. And the sheep are commanded to celebrate their good shepherd's death. And no, we're not called to celebrate death today. But this is one death that the church of God is called to celebrate. To celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's their food. It's their drink. It's their foundation. It's their life. It's their hope. It's everything. It's their way back to God. So the signs of Holy Supper admonish and assure the sheep of the Good Shepherd, of what? Of the payment. Of the payment of the Good Shepherd for the sheep. And now, children, what do you see in the Lord's Supper? Well, you say, I see a table, I see people, but what do you see on the table? There's two things. What do you see? You know, you see there's wine there and there is bread. Both those signs speak. They speak about an invisible message. What message? Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 26, and there we will read a parallel passage from Luke. Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28. Matthew 26, verse 26, 27, and 28. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So we hear that bread is broken and that speaks of his body, his broken body. And that wine that's poured out, it speaks about his blood that is shed. So what is the purpose of celebrating the Lord's Supper? What's the purpose? That the true believers, that God's people, that his sheep, his little lambs and sheep, that they would meditate upon the Good Shepherd and upon him crucified, upon his sacrifice, upon what he has done on the cross, the death of the cross. Why? Why specifically this? Why not the manger in Bethlehem? Why not some of his miracles? Why specifically and most certainly central in the suffering, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. Because this is the foundation of their salvation. Because this is where the Almighty Holy God, whose justice has been satisfied when he looked upon the sacrifice. And through his justice being satisfied, which those sheep can never satisfy and must satisfy for him in order to receive them back into his presence eternally, to receive them as sons and daughters, it must be satisfied. And there's only one place. It's in the sacrifice, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of their salvation. And that is why they are admonished and assured that they need to focus in, especially the Lord's Supper, upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read that question again. And then I want to speak about a phrase. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ? What do we see here? What did our forefathers see? They saw when Christ was on the cross, when he was paying that price, he was a substitute. He was a surety, a substitute and a surety for all his beloved sheep. And he wants to admonish them and assure them that through his sacrifice, that they are included in that payment. That as God the Father was satisfied with his Son, that those that are in him by God's grace and believing in him, hiding under his wings, that God the Father is also satisfied with them because of the payment of their good shepherd. Now already we have enough to go home and to meditate a whole week. What a message. What a gospel. What a precious message for absolute wretched sinners who have nothing. He assures them, admonishes them, and assures them through his sacrifice on the cross of the love. So let's take a few moments to meditate on these two words, admonish and assured. The first thing is that the good shepherd admonishes his sheep to celebrate his death until he returns. They are to celebrate this death through the ages until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. It's not a question if they think it's a good idea. Should we do it this year? Should we maybe skip 6 months? Should we just wait? Not at all. No, they're commanded to remember his death, to do it in remembrance of him. That's what we read. Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him. Why did they write this? Well, because of what the Lord wrote in his word of God. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 11, and we read there from verse 25 and 26. There we read the command and the focus. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25 and 26. This do ye, that's a command, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So they're first admonished to keep this commandment of the Lord, to celebrate his death and to keep it in remembrance of him until he returns. What else does he admonish? What do we read in the Heidelberg Catechism? What do we read in the answer? Christ has commanded me and all believers. Did you hear that? All believers. Not just some. Not just with a certain level. No, all believers. All the lambs. All the sheep. All the children of God. All the recipients of grace. They're all called. As John wrote. He wrote about the young men, he wrote about the fathers, the little lambs, the much mature sheep. All of them are called, commanded to obey and to partake of the Lord's Supper. What else is in connection to the admonishment of which is written? The sheep. Did you hear it? The sheep, the lambs, the sheep of the good shepherd. They are the ones that are called, commanded to attend. No, not the goats. The goats are not commanded at all. They are admonished to refrain. To refrain. They're admonished, they're exhorted that they need to repent, that they need to flee to that only Savior, but they are not admonished at all to come to the Lord's Supper because they will not be assured of His love because they are dead in sins and trespasses. It's impossible. So who are they? Yes, we will consider this more in Lord's Day 30, but here already a few parts, a points. Who are the sheep? Who are the goats? Who do you think? Who are they? Are those that are so focused on going to the Lord's Supper? Are they the sheep? Maybe. Those who want to attain, to come to the Lord's Supper because they attain something, and then we can relax because now I've come to the Lord's Supper. Is that the sheep? No. Congregation, with all the love of my heart, please. The Lord's Supper is precious. It's instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the first thing is not to come to attain, to come to the Lord's Supper. The first thing is to be reconciled with God against whom you have sinned through that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our focus first. And then if we know of His grace, we should confess it for His honor and for His glory. So who are the sheep? Who are the goats? Who are they? Who are admonished to come and who are admonished not to come? Well, the sheep are those who are born again by God's grace. Well, who are they? They have sorrow over sin. They have a pain that they sin against God. The goats don't have this pain. They only have pain against the consequences of sin, but they do not have true godly sorrow. Who else are those sheep? Those sheep come to an absolute end in self of any hope of being reconciled with God with anything that they have. With all the experiences, with all the text, with all of it, it becomes absolutely impossible from their side with all the blessings and all the experience they have that they still cannot be reconciled with God. They need one to bring them back to God. They need one who made a way. They need a mediator. They need one to stand before them, a holy and just God and an unrighteous lost sinner. And they begin to learn. It's revealed unto them through the scriptures in the preaching of a precious one, one that God provided, a lamb. He becomes necessary for their soul. He becomes suitable to their case, and he becomes precious. So there's faith. Those sheep in time come to have faith in that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what else about those sheep? And the goats? They don't care for that shepherd at all. They may say his name. They may explain some things about him, but they have no real love. No love, and they have no longing for living in holiness, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so there we see again a great difference between the sheep and the goats. Those sheep, they long to live according to the commandments of God. Why? Because they love the God of the commandments. He poured love in their hearts, and the goats are missing. And so the goats are admonished not to attend, but to repent, to confess their sins. And the sheep, they are the ones that are admonished to come to that table, to confess that they are in the midst of death and that they seek their entire salvation. Yes, everything only in another, in that precious Savior whom they have learned a little something about, or more. But maybe you say, Pastor, I believe I may have something of the grace of God. He taught me how great my sins and miseries are. And I have known there's no way of deliverance in myself. And I have been taught by the Word and by the Spirit that there is one, that there is a mediator. And I need him. My heart goes out to him. I cry after him. Son of David, have mercy upon him, upon me. And I cannot live without him. I'm waiting, longing that he would speak to me. But I miss assurance. I miss assurance. I can't say he's my Savior. May I attend? What would your answer be? What did our forefathers say? What do we read? All believers, those little ones, those weak ones, those trembling ones, the assured ones, the more assured ones, those that are missing assurance. But if they know by God's grace that he has taught them of their great misery and of that only way of deliverance, and if they long to live for the glory of God, they are not only invited, but they are commanded to participate. Why? Because he admonishes them to come, because he wants to assure them. He wants to assure them. Why does the good shepherd command them to attend the Lord's Supper? Because he wants to assure them of his love. Of his love for them. We can't find assurance in our love. We can't find assurance even in the marks of grace of who we are. Yes, they are important, absolutely. But the real assurance is that he speaks of his love, that he comforts with himself, that he comforts with his broken body, with his sacrifice, with his shed blood, that he comforts. Remember, why was the sacraments instituted? Why? What do we read in Heidelberg Catechism in the question and answer 66? Why did Jesus Christ institute the sacraments? And we read, the sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end. What end? What's the purpose? That by the use thereof, we may the more fully, pardon, that he may the more fully declare and seal to us, that us is the sheep, not the goats, the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. And so I need to lay before your heart, do you know, in true examination, before the presence of God, those three marks, misery, deliverance, and gratitude, do you know them? Then you must obey the command. I can only follow what God's word teaches and what our forefathers have commanded, that all believers are commanded to attend. Do you know of how great your sins and miseries are, and your only hope is in Jesus Christ, and that you long to live holy? Do you know that? Do you know that? And if you yet refrain, if you yet do not obey the command, I must tell you that you can expect spiritual darkness for disobedience to the command of the Good Shepherd. And now imagine a little illustration. There's someone you love, and you've told them that you love them, but they come into doubt again. And you want to meet with them, and you want to share with them that you deeply love them. You want to tell them again, and they just absolutely refuse to come to meet with you. Would you not be upset, husbands? If your wife says, I wonder if you love me. And you say, I want to go on a date with you, and I want to show you. I want to express it. And your wife says, I don't want to go. I think we'd be upset. A little illustration. And now the Good Shepherd, the good shepherd of the sheep that sought them, that saved them, that taught them. And they say, no, I don't want to attend. I don't want to obey their commands. It's sin. It's sin. If you have, that's the key. If you have God's grace, those three clear biblical marks, you are called. Even though your faith is so poor that you tremble, that your faith is as weak as a spider's web. But if your faith, that true faith, saving faith, that God plants in the heart, is not in yourself, but in another, that you need him and him alone, that your life depends upon it, that you cannot meet God without him, that your only hope is in him, then you must obey. That faith is on a foundation. Our faith is not in our faith, but it's on a foundation. What foundation is that faith upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified? And the Lord Jesus Christ specifically instituted the Lord's Supper. For what reason? He admonishes all His sheep to attend. Why? Because He wants to assure them of what? Of His faithfulness, of His love for them, of His eternal love, of His faithfulness, that He will never leave them, that He will never forsake them. And He wants to strengthen their faith in Him through those signs, through the broken bread and the shed blood, the wine that speaks of the shed blood. The Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, the Good Shepherd desires to comfort poor, needy, wretched sinners, weary with self, weary with sin, weary with flesh, weary with all the tax, no hope in self. And He wants to comfort that struggling, that weak, that weary people with His perfect sacrifice on the cross. The Good Shepherd desires to assure them of His love. Reverently speaking, He says, little lamb, little sheep, come and sit. And I want to feed you. I want to nourish you. I want to assure you of my love. When you receive that broken bread, think of my broken body. I broke my body for you. That's what He wants to speak. That's through that sign. I broke my body for you. And those wretched sinners, they know that I should be broken because of my sin. But then to hear from His mouth, through that sign that He speaks, I gave my body to be broken for you. What love! But more, that when they may have a little sip of that wine, that He speaks to them and says, I have shed my blood for you, for the remission of sins. He wants to assure them of Himself, of His love. How dare we as a church of God neglect what He wants to care for us? We should long, and I know what a struggle it can be, I understand. And yet we should long to be there, to be under His wings, and to hear His voice of the Good Shepherd speaking through that servant, that sinful man, I have broken my body for you. I have shed my blood for you. What blessings! Dear sheep, dear lambs of the Good Shepherd, you hear His love for you. You hear His care for you. How He wants to care for you and assure you. Do you remember Thomas? Thomas, children, remember him? The Lord Jesus had risen. He was alive. And Thomas couldn't believe it. And he said, I won't believe it. I won't. Until what? Until I can see Him. Until I can touch Him. And then the Lord came to the sheep, the Good Shepherd. That sheep that was in a pit of unbelief. He came to him, and I say with my own words, Thomas, look, I'm alive. Thomas, come and touch. Come and touch my hands. Come and touch my scars, Thomas. Do not be so faithless, but believing. And reverently speaking, in the Lord's Supper, the Lord wants His sheep to come. No goats, but sheep to come. Because He wants to say, come, look. Look at my scars. Look what I've done for you. Look at my broken body. Look at my shed blood. My love is for you. I did it all for you. And that love is a constant love. That love is an eternal love. And nothing, as Paul said, will separate from the love of God through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing. We get separated, right, with love. Relationships get broken, or by death. We miss a wife. We miss a husband. We miss a child, separated. But this, nothing will separate from the love. And He wants to assure His sheep of that great love. And so He admonishes them. And He assures them. Wants to assure them. Attend for the glory of my name and for the well-being of your soul, that your faith may be strengthened and comforted. And so we come to the end of our first thought. Let us now sing before we consider the purpose to nourish and to feed. Psalter 94. Psalter 94, the first four stanzas. Thy mercy and thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky. Thy judgments are a mighty deep, and as the mountains high. 94, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, instituted the Lord's Supper, and he admonishes all his sheep to attend because he wants to assure them, but he also wants to nourish them and to feed them. And yes, we have spoken a little bit about that already. One of the responsibilities of parents are what, children? They need to care for you, that they need to nourish you and feed you, that you would be healthy, that you would grow. And a responsibility of a good shepherd is to nourish and to feed his sheep. And Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, nourishes and feeds his sheep. We read in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And that is why we read in the last part of question and answer 75, and further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and the blood of Christ. What does this mean? He wants to nourish and feed them. What does the Lord Jesus Christ feed and nourish souls? How does he? And what does he do? He feeds and nourishes them to everlasting life, we read. To everlasting. What's meant with eternal life? What's everlasting life? Children, when you hear everlasting life, what do you think of? Maybe you think of never dying, just living a really long, long time, never dying. But what is everlasting life? Life. Everlasting life. To be without God is death. To be with God is life. So eternal life in the first place is to be brought into relationship with God. And he wants to then also feed and nourish with everlasting life his sheep. Everlasting life. Eternal life is to be in a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's everlasting life, to have communion with God, to be in a union with him. We also read that word in the Bible, to be in union, to be united to that Savior. And he nourishes and feeds them to everlasting life, to a union in a relationship with himself. Open your Bible. What is eternal life? What did John say in the high priestly prayer, John 17, there we read it. What is eternal life? John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So he feeds and nourishes them to everlasting life, that they may know God and Jesus Christ. That's everlasting life. And by nature, we don't know God. And we don't know that Savior. And he wants to nourish them and feed them, that they're in a union and have communion with the Almighty God. He brings them back into communion with God. He nourishes and feeds them to everlasting life, into communion with God that they have sinned against. The Good Shepherd wants his sheep to know that through him, that they are in an unbreakable covenant, an unbreakable covenant with the Almighty God. What food? What nourishment? The gospel, the word of God, is food for souls. And he wants them to attend, to assure them, but also to nourish them and to feed their souls with that love of a relationship that they are brought in with through a sacrifice with God. What food? What do you hunger for? May I ask you, what do you hunger for? Search your heart. What do you really hunger for? Do you hunger and long to know God, to know Jesus Christ, and to know that you are in a relationship with him? Would that feed your soul? Would that give such rich comfort that you could go home so happy, so full of joy, that me, as a wretched sinner, that through that sacrifice, I'm brought into a relationship. Everlasting life is about a relationship, a union with Christ, and through him, brought back to the very heart of God. And in the Lord's Supper, he wants to feed and nourish his people with that love that is in him and in the Father. In the Father. But this is not only about eternal life in a relationship, but it's also abundant. We read in John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life. He gives them life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So in the depth, in the knowledge of the depth of being in the relationship with God the Father, that he wants to assure them of that abundant grace and mercy, that all the sins are washed. And maybe the last Lord's Supper, they had such a blessed time. Or maybe you had it one day. You could just sit and sink away in the love of God through that precious Savior for my soul. That's such a rich blessing. When you can just sink away for me, all that love for me, that he broke his body for me, that he shed his blood for me. Oh, that's such deep, deep, precious, rich food for the soul. And he wants to nourish them, that they have a communion, that they're in communion with a triune God. And he applies it by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the desire of God the Father. He sent his Son to seek them, to save them. And he sent his Son to die, to sacrifice himself, to satisfy his justice, that his arms could be opened, that he could embrace his sheep, and that they could know that they're brought back into communion in a relationship, everlasting life with him. The good shepherd desires to nourish and feed his sheep. He instituted the Lord's Supper so that they may not only hear about these things, but that these things may be applied to their hearts. They may hear it in the gospel, but he also gave the sacrament of Holy Supper, that as they eat, as they taste, as they drink, they are not to focus on those things, but to focus on that love, of the love of the Good Shepherd, and the love of God the Father, and that they have everlasting life, that their sins are forgiven, and that heaven is their eternal home. And he longs for them, as we read. And yes, there's so many points in this Lord's Supper, or in this Heidelberg Catechism. We can only touch on a few. The Lord willing, more in the future. But he wants them to know of that union, that they eat and are fed, and they know they are in that union with God, with him. And that's the desire of the Good Shepherd. That's why he instituted the Lord's Supper. That's he has a desire to nourish and feed them. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So you see that only comfort is also here in the Lord's Supper for God's people. Do you hear what you miss? I hope you hear it. You miss everything. If you're lost and you're still a goat, you missed everything, and yet you may hear it. The door of grace is still open. What a wonder. And that good shepherd, he still reaches out his arms. He still proclaims, seek me and live. And God's people, they're not only called to live in union with him, to live closer and closer, but also to live in union with each other, as we read. It's a supper to especially remember his sacrifice, to think of his love, and to be brought more and more in a closer relationship with him. That's the purpose, nourishing, feeding them, but also to love each other, to live in union with each other. Do we ever think of that? That's what we read in the Heidelberg Catechism, that there's love, communion of the saints. May the Lord give it, that poor beggars, by God's grace, lost in the midst of death, as we hope to have the Lord's Supper in a couple weeks, that his sheep, those little lambs, those weary, tired, thirsty, hungry again, missing, longing, wanting their faith strengthened in him, to have that comfort, because when they're comforted, they live more for the glory of him. May the Lord give it, that they may be brought to that table. And may we also consider Do we love each other? Do we love each other as that family? Do we care for each other? And so we come to the end. The good shepherd, he gave his life. And through his sacrifice, there is food. There is the assurance of poor, needy sinners, of his sheep, of his love. Because if he didn't give that sacrifice, God the Father would never have been satisfied his justice. And we would never, ever able to feel anything of the love of God. It would all be hopeless. But because of him, because of that good shepherd, because of his sacrifice, there is those blessings, those merits that flow from above into hearts. By him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be assured and comforted, to have a little crumb, to come as a dog, and just to have a little crumb, a little taste of his mercy, of his love for your soul, congregation. That's a little place of heaven on earth, of heaven, of being satisfied with his love, of his love. He speaks to your heart. That's precious. There's nothing compared to that on this earth than his love for souls. Congregation, Church of God, you've heard it. The command, do this as oft as ye eat and drink in remembrance of him. We need to examine ourselves. There'll be a preparatory sermon in a couple of weeks, and we're all called to examine ourselves according to the marks of grace. And if you may, with a conscience before God, know that by his grace, you know how great your sins and miseries are, and that your only hope of deliverance and forgiveness of sins is only in Jesus Christ, and that you long to live holy unto him with all your pollution, with all your wretchedness. But if that's your heart, then you must obey and attend. Why? Because he commands it. Why? Because he wants to assure you of his love. He wants to feed you and nourish your heart and your soul with himself. What blessings. May the Lord give it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, what a wonder that we even have thy word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation. But in thy word we may hear of law, which teaches of our sin, of our wretchedness. But thou also hast proclaimed the gospel of thy dear Son, and thou hast instituted even the Lord's Supper to admonish and assure thy dear people, thy sheep and the lambs, to feed them and nourish them. Oh, may it be so by the power of the Holy Spirit that there may be food through the preaching, but also in the sacrament. Lord, that thou would give freedom, that thou would give opening, and that there may be obedience, denying self, and confessing for the honor, for the glory of thy name. And may all goats be kept from the table. Lord, search, try, examine us, and may we lay our hearts next to thy precious word. And thou art that faithful God, thou wilt never deceive any. Lord, we beg, remember the whole congregation, remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, all the goats. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give them life, give them that urgency. No, not in the first place to come to the Lord's Supper, but that they have that need to be reconciled with thee. Lord, remember in thy mercy and care for all thy dear sheep and the lambs, all thy dear children, especially in this Passion season. Lord, lead them to thyself and to that precious place where the justice of God the Father was satisfied at the cross. In that sacrifice, have mercy on us. Lord, we thank thee for thy help and for thy precious word. Be with us as we hope to sing, and give also when there may be questions, wisdom and the leading and the guiding of thy Holy Spirit to answer. Have mercy, Lord. Forgive us of all our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close in singing from Psalter 53. Psalter 53, all five stanzas. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. Psalter 53, all five stanzas.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.